Greetings, folks, and welcome back to the BMW Motorrad Podcast. Here we are at episode 2 already. So, what have we got lined up for you this time? First up, we'll take a journey back to the future and speak to Dr. Ralph Rodopater about the new Vision DC Roadster and how the brand's past is already influencing its electrified future. Then, we'll be looking ahead to the International GS Trophy in New Zealand and speaking to Thomas Fisher, who's responsible for BMW Motorrad's North African and Middle Eastern markets, both of which are fielding teams for the first time in the trophy. We'll also have a chat with Pete Gerards, one of the lucky guys from Team Nederland, another newbie team that is making its debut in 2020. And if we've got time, we'll have a quick chat about the upcoming Pure and Crafted Festival, which is coming to Amsterdam on 28th of September. Can't wait for that one. It's great to have you here again, so let's get on with the show. Imagine a time in the future when the internal combustion engine is no more, and the only motorcycle manufacturers that remain are the ones that have successfully pursued electrification. We are riders. We'll always want to ride. But what could a future BMW bike be like 10, 20, 30 years from now? One possible answer could be in the form of the Vision DC Roadster, a highly emotional naked bike with electric drive. If you recognise this music, you'll have seen this zero-emissions riding concept recently unveiled at the Next Gen event in Munich. Its first public outing was at BMW Motorrad Days, where I caught up with Head of Marketing and Product Management, Dr. Ralph Rodopater, to tell us more about the possible electrical awakening of the Boxer engine. So this is the BMW Motorrad Vision DC Roadster that was unveiled at hashtag NextGen event in Munich. How has the reaction been from visitors here so far at BMW Motorrad Days?
Yeah, having the Vision DC Roadster here in Garmisch at the Motorrad Days is great because for the first time we show it to a wider audience after the hashtag Next Gen, where the audience was quite small compared with BMW Motorrad Days, and the reaction was great. I think from the first sight you see that it is a BMW Motorrad because our design department did a very great job by putting design elements from our standard, from our history actually, into that Vision DC Roadster. Especially when you think about 1923, when we invented our first motorcycle, it was the same idea, putting the Boxer engine, putting the cylinder heads into the wind. And they took over the same idea of putting now these cooling elements into the wind, not only for riding to cool the engine down, also for charging. You have a lot of heat development during charging. So you need these elements to get rid of the heat.
That's brilliant. That's a very modern interpretation of a classic idea. But just to clarify for listeners, what's the difference between a concept bike and a vision bike?
A vision bike always tells the audience or also tries to do something that is quite far away. So when we talk about vision, we are talking about a mid-range of 4, 5, 6 or more years. When we talk about concept, that is always quite close to the serial production. So whenever you hear the word concept, you can be sure that there will be a serial bike within the next 1 or 2 years. But a vision bike is really trying out something, trying the reactions of the audience. Is it a direction we could go? For example, now for the Vision DC Roadster, it is really, is that our design language for electrified motorcycles? So we have been very successful with the C-Evolution in the last years with our electric scooter, but bringing that into motorcycles is a totally different question. So because the technique will define a new design language, so we have to test and we have to be very creative and test out the ideas of how a motorcycle, an electrified motorcycle, could look like in the future. So there's a reason why we call it Vision.
And it was a definite move, and certainly a move that's worked to have that typical BMW Motorrad DNA in there.
Yeah, that was very important for us to think about. Hey, we are coming from now nearly 100 years of history of, and of course we are very much linked to the Boxer engine. How can we make sure that somebody who sees a motorcycle of us, regardless is it an internal combustion engine or is it an electrified engine, to make a typical look like a BMW?
tell us, when we're talking about boxer engines, because there's a space where a boxer engine would normally be, what's in that space?
Actually, we're talking also about an engine, of course. It's an electrified engine. And in the space where we have now in the combustion engines, the pistons, the cylinder head and all this stuff, we decided to use this as it was thought from the beginning, to cool down, to get rid of the heat of an internal combustion engine, or also electrified engines are producing heat, even if that is on a lower scale. But on the other side, when you park your combustion engine bike somewhere, the heat is off, but not when you're charging an electrified bike. So there is the most of the heat production. So we decided to try out to have this vent in there and these cooling elements, so that air is really floating through there and take away the heat, like it is in an internal combustion engine boxer.
Brilliant. Sounds like a fantastic solution. Now, I love the looks of this bike. It seems to me, at least, that the designers, they haven't built a bike and then made an e-drive system to fit it, but they've actually started with the motor, the battery and the shaft drive, and then designed a whole motorcycle around those key elements.
That is absolutely right. That were the basic ideas, to take these key elements that make a BMW Motorrad visible as being a BMW Motorrad, and take these key elements and, of course, transform them into a modern looking, and to make sure that this could be the design language of our electrified bikes.
Yeah, it certainly looks cool. It's low at the front, it's high at the rear, and that design gives it a lightweight, sporty, agile stance. Have you also thought, the materials that are used in its construction, does that all also all about lightweight as well, low weight?
Today, the range of an electrified engine is still quite low compared with a combustion engine. So it is very important to have a very efficient, not only efficient engine, but also a very efficient bike. So, of course, we took as much lightweight into it, carbon fiber, aluminium, all this stuff, to make it as light as possible. Because efficiency is not only a question of combustion engines, also for the future, and even more for the future with electrified engines.
I just want to talk about sound, because how bikes sound is a really important element to many riders. So what might the future sound of an electric bike be? Because I don't think electric bikes are going to be silent in the future, are they?
For sure they will not be silent. And actually, if you look today with a combustion engine, as long as a motorcycle or also a car is very slow, you hear the engine. But as it becomes faster, you do not hear the engine anymore. You hear the wheels and you hear the wind and you hear everything, but not anymore the engine. So, of course, we thought a lot about the engine, the future sound of motorcycling. But there, the opinion will change, because we will find electric engines not only in motorcycles, we will have them in cars more and more. So I think we are a little bit too old, because we are so used to this internal combustion engine, very masculine sound. And we will have another definition of masculine sound in the future.
And I'm presuming you can choose whatever your preference is going to be. I guess it won't be, like a standard thing. You can pick your pitch, so to speak.
Absolutely. As we do it today with the combustion engines, it is not the sound comes out from alone there. So we are thinking a lot about the sound. How could the technique be reflected in the sound? And that holds true also for electrified engines. So a scooter will definitely sound different from a roadster. From the DC Roadster or the Vision DC Roadster, it of course will be much more present as it is with a scooter that is mainly for urban use.
Apparently there's some matching rider clothing at Smart Suit to go with the new Vision bike. So what can you tell us about this two-piece item? It certainly doesn't look like your typical rider equipment that we recognize today.
Yeah, that is absolutely right. And we have a lot of ideas what you can do with the rider equipment. Today, that is very separated from the bike. Mainly, we're talking about protection. So in case of an accident, that protects the rider. But of course, with modern techniques, you have much, much more possibilities to really link the bike and the rider. And the suit, the rider equipment, is perfect for that. So starting with the helmet, starting with the jacket and the suit, you can really put a lot of functions of the bike into the suit. And you can steer your bike by using the suit. So I have a lot of functions, not anymore at the handlebar of the bike, but in your clothes. And imagine that you steer it with your voice and all this stuff. You have a head-up display in the helmet and all that stuff that can be a bit imaginable. And there are a lot of new technologies are coming. You find them already. You find ski googles, which gives you the speed and such things. So, of course, we are transforming that also into our ride equipment.
And like you say, it's not that far away.
Definitely not, no.
Something that's very important to motorcyclists. Obviously, we're getting clear messages about highly automated vehicles transforming our individual mobility of the future. You know, for example, your smartphone's going to call an empty car that's going to come and pick you up and you perhaps carry on your business or your entertainment or have a snooze in there. But riding a motorcycle, you know, even a zero emissions concept like the Vision DC Roadster, it's such an engaging, emotional activity that we wouldn't want taken out of our hands. Will we always be able to ride our motorcycles if they are BMW Motorrad motorcycles?
I promise it will always be riding a BMW motorcycle. But there, the new technique gives us room for so many degrees of freedom. So imagine you had your wonderful weekends in the Alps doing one curve after the other. And now it's a Saturday afternoon and you're riding back to the north of Germany. You're tired, you had a wonderful weekend, but then perhaps you are happy that your motorcycle is riding for you. So of course we have it in our hands and we want to ride motorcycles and it is in the bike should do what I want. But there are also situations where I say, hey, just take me home.
I like the idea of that, charging around the Alps for a couple of hours and then going for a snooze on the boring bits in the Autobahn. All possible, isn't it?
Yeah. In the far future, I could think of that, yeah.
Okay, so drivers for sure are going to be able to choose whether they want to drive autonomously or drive themselves. It sounds like it might be the case for motorcyclists as well, but one thing's for sure, pioneering brands like BMW Motorrad will never take the emotion and the fun out of riding, even when the internal combustion engine is obsolete and we're all enjoying super fast, super efficient, zero emissions e-bikes. Are you confident that's still going to be the case?
That will definitely be the case. And what we definitely will never ever do is take out the emotion of it. If for everybody who has ridden an electric bike or even a scooter, it is highly emotional because you have this lot of torque there. So starting at the traffic light, you're always a winner with that. So there's definitely no lack of emotions when we're talking about electrified motorcycles. Definitely not, I promise.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thanks very much for the insights, Ralph. It's certainly looking a very interesting future BMW Motorrad style.
Thank you, Andy.
Get ready for the ultimate off-road event and check out gstrophy.com.
So the trophy's coming closer. And for 2019, we've got some new teams who will be tasting international GS Trophy action for the first time. Among them are teams from the Middle East and North Africa. And helping them get there in good shape is a good guy called Mr. Fisher. Hey, Thomas, tell us who you are and what you do.
Well, my name is Thomas Fisher. Since 2.5 years, I have the pleasure to take care of the importer markets in the Middle East and Caribbean African market. So very, very different cultures, but so, so interesting cultures and also characters I can take care of.
It sounds like a dream job to me. So fantastic news that two new regions of the world are being represented in the International GS Trophy 2020. Can you tell us a little bit about these?
Yeah, we are very happy that finally we could make it. I think having especially Morocco in the North Africa, which is, I would say, one of the most fantastic places I've been for motorbike riding. Finally, we have the possibility to have the first North African qualifier there. People from Algeria and also Tunisia will come to Morocco and participate. So that will be quite a big event. On the other side of the world, we have the Middle East markets where our GS community is fast growing. Lebanon and Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Qatar, Kuwait, Jordan, and in future maybe even more markets which we're trying to develop there. In Lebanon, it definitely makes sense to bring the people together.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to ask you that. When I think of North Africa and when I think of the Middle East, I would have thought those riding conditions are perfect for GS bikes, and certainly with a lot of sand as well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we had some years ago the GS launch in Morocco already, and all my colleagues and all people participating in this launch call it the legendary GS launch, because it was just the perfect condition for this bike. We have a travel partner there. We're building up an enduro park as well, and it definitely is a country to go. And the accessibility from, especially from Europe, is very easy. 1.5 hours by ship from Spain.
Not so easy, I guess, in the Middle East, but still probably an amazing place to ride a GS.
Absolutely, yes. Of course, we have, due to the, I would say, the quite differences in the climate throughout the year, it is difficult to find places with a green landscape, especially in Saudi Arabia and Dubai, or the Arab Emirates in general. But we have Oman, for instance, in the southern part, where Saudi Arabia and Dubai are also doing off-road trainings and travels. And of course, in Lebanon, we have the perfect conditions, and also a very big community, and doing a lot of off-road riding and on-road riding and trainings as well.
And so when will this qualifier be?
Both qualifiers will be in September this year. Of course, we have from the 12th to the 13th the qualifier in the Middle East, and already 1 week... No, 2 weeks later, we will have the qualifier in Morocco.
Fantastic. Any female riders involved in any of these qualifiers?
Yes, that was actually very interesting for me. I thought Middle East would be difficult to find female riders, but we have three female riders. We have Grace and... Maya, both are from the Middle East directly. One is from Lebanon and one is from Jordan. And we also have the pleasure that Rosie Gabriel will be there, a very famous motorcyclist who is doing off-road tours in the Middle East since, I think she told me, 7 or 8 years. And she's originally from Canada, but since she's already that long in the region, we consider her as part of the game. Yeah?
Fantastic. And in North Africa?
In North Africa, I think we also will have two or three female riders. The names I do not know right now, but the only challenge we have that I guess the female qualifier will be very soon after our qualifiers, so we need to make sure that the female riders already have their visa ready in order to participate in Spain.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And what does it mean? I mean, you've been out there already and you've met these riders. What does it mean to them to have the chance to participate, to be part of the GS Trophy community?
I think especially in the Middle East, yeah, this is something unique. I mean, there is a lot of money in the Middle East, but participating in a qualifier can't be bought. So this is, I guess, the most interesting thing for them, yeah? That it's absolutely equal for everybody, and it's about competing against each other, no matter where you're coming from, how rich you are, or if you're female or male, yeah?
That's absolutely brilliant. Well, we wish you the very, very best of luck moving forwards with those qualifiers. Thomas, thanks for talking to us. And of course, the best of luck to all the riders hoping to represent Team North Africa and Team Middle East in the International GS Trophy 2020. Welcome to the family.
Thank you very much. We hope to win there in New Zealand.
Now, as you've just heard, we'll have teams from North Africa and the Middle East. There's also a new team from the Nordic countries, and also Team Netherlands making a debut in the international event. I managed to get one of the Dutch team members on the line, Peet Gerards, who could hardly contain his excitement about what lies ahead in New Zealand. Hey Peet, great to have you on board and welcome to the GS family. How excited are you about going to New Zealand?
I think I'm the most exciting guy on the planet at the moment, because it's once in a lifetime, and I cannot imagine how great it's going to be.
Absolutely. And now you've got two teammates who can't be here with you today because they're busy racing GSs in Gibraltar. What can you tell me about your teammates and what they're up to at the moment?
Yeah, I've got two very good teammates. Jaap van Hofwegen, he's 35 years old. He's a very good rider and he's very intelligent. He's analyzing the track. He's looking at everything and then he's going to ride. Then you have Xavier Tobbe. He's a very talented rider. He's 22 years old, so he's the young guy. yeah, he just has so much talent. And he did some racing on his bicycle. So he's also very strong, very good condition. So that's great. So I think we are all three, we are different as a person, but as a team, we have a very good click. So we are very happy with that.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. So tell us a little bit about the GS scene in the Netherlands. Is it growing? Is it developing?
The GS scene in the Netherlands, this is the first time the Netherlands enters the GS trophy. So the good thing about that is it's pretty new. So everything we do is new for the people. And BMW, the Netherlands, is doing a very great job because from beginning to the end, they will, how do you say that? They will assist us. Yeah. And they will, let's start before the qualify. Before the qualify, we came together with all the participants for the qualify. And all of them got a bike for 3 weeks. And we could train on the bike. It was a F850 GS. And we could take the bike to the UK where we had to qualify. So that was the first thing we did together with BMW the Netherlands.
So did you all ride across to the UK together or did you make your own way across?
I think 80% rode together. We all came to the BMW dealer in Cheltenham. And from Cheltenham, we rode to the GS Trophy qualifier in the UK. So we came with all the orange F850 GSs to the qualifiers. So that was pretty cool. So we had a good entry over there.
Yeah, it must have looked fantastic when you all turned up. And of course, you did your qualifier in South Wales at the BMW Off-Road School with Dakar legend Si Pavey and his team. So how was that experience? Did they look after you well down there?
Yeah, that was great. We rode at the Walters Arena. And yeah, I think Simon is a legend. He had a presentation also in the evening with changing tires and just some storytelling. And he himself, he thought, okay, there will maybe three people coming to the presentation. But the complete room was full of people, that everybody was interested in his story. So he was surprised himself too, but it was great. It was just one big family, also together with the guys from the UK. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. And that's the GS community in a nutshell, really. But for you personally, what's special about GS bikes?
Yeah, I own a 1200 GS Rally from 2017. But I had a BMW G450X before. That's a more enduro bike. The first time I rode the GS, I was in love. And I really understood what GS is all about. Because normally when you have a regular bike and you're riding it, the bike is not giving you the freedom to do everything you want. And with the GS, I can do everything I want. When I see a field with sand, I can over the field or just off-road track. The GS will not stop you.
So in terms of riding your GS, where do you go in the Netherlands to ride?
Yeah, well, what I do, I think it's I'm not the typical GS rider myself because I like really extreme stuff. So as a hobby, I do motocross and off-roading with some smaller dirt bikes. And now I really like to do that with the BMW GS too. I did some motocross tracks on the GS. I do some enduro rides, so that in the Netherlands you have in the winter time, you've got enduros, and then it's about 45 to 50 kilometers is around. And you can do a couple rounds with some smaller dirt bikes. But I do that with the GS because I think it's a little bit too extreme for the GS. But when you do that enduro, you can learn a lot. And I really like to learn every day on the bike. So that's why I do that.
So what kind of reactions are you getting from the riders on the smaller dirt bikes when you're heading out on these long tracks on the big GS?
It was crazy. People did not expect that you can do things like that with a BMW GS. Because everybody thinks, everybody sees a GS riding on the road, but it will not stop you for a ride off-road. And it's just the rider that can, how do you say that? The rider makes the limit. The bike will not stop you.
I suppose another way of saying it is, you know, the bike can do it, the GS can do it. It's all down to the ability of the rider.
Yeah.
And when you look up videos from the, you know, previous videos from the GS Trophy from past editions, how does it make you feel knowing that you're going to be part of that experience?
Yeah, it's very special because you train a lot for that. And you look at videos and you see how people ride the bikes and you take a look at the trails you have to do. But the trip to New Zealand, it's not there yet. We are now enjoying the moment, what for example the BMW the Netherlands is doing. Next week we will get a new BMW F850 for training, and the training itself is also very nice because we're gonna train together with the team, and it's not only training on the bike, but it's also physical training. We will do some how do you call that? A medical approval. They will send us to a sports doctor, and he will check everything from us, how fit we are. So all the things we are doing together as a team, yeah, that's great.
Ah, that sounds fantastic. You know, so you're going to have to stop eating the poffertjes and the Stroff waffles and all those things that we love to stuff our faces with when we go to the Netherlands, and get yourself as fit as possible.
It is the first time BMW Motorrad, the Netherlands, is taking part of the GS Trophy. And I think hopefully we're going to do a nice entry. But for us, I think also as when I speak for Xavier and Jaap, for us it's 3,000 kilometers of podium what we're going to ride over there, because we already managed to go over there, and that's just a tip of the iceberg.
You're absolutely right. You know, so many people have said exactly the same thing to me. Just to get there in the first place, you know, makes you a winner. And it's fantastic that BMW Netherlands is taking it so seriously and really joining in with the spirit of the event. So what about other teams? Are you in contact with any of the other guys and girls who are going to be in New Zealand yet?
Yes, actually, yes. That's the cool thing about 2019, we have internet and we have social media, and on Instagram you can do hashtag GS Trophy 2020, and you can see people who post things about the GS Trophy. And of course we did the qualifier together with the guys from the UK, and you don't know each other good, but you have the same passion, and that makes a conversation very easy. So I talked to a couple people, and I'm very excited about that, to see them in New Zealand.
Yeah, that's perfect. I mean, that's, you know, it's absolutely, as you find as the year progresses, you'll have a lot more people coming into contact with you, and the family grows. And by the time you actually get to New Zealand, you already know most of the other participants.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. Let's make it an adventure.
Okay, well, listen, it's been fantastic talking to you, Pete, and really good luck to you and the other two guys for the rest of the preparations.
Thanks, mate. We see us. Bye-bye.
Music, motorcycles, heritage, handmade, and much more. Pure and Crafted is back, but not in Berlin. This time it's landing in Amsterdam on Saturday the 28th of September, with a pre-party club night on the Friday evening, and an invitation to the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride on the Sunday. Here to tell us more about this legendary action-packed festival is BMW Motorrad's Michael Trammer,
Hey, Michael, good to see you.
Hi, Andy, good to see you.
So after 3 years in Berlin, Pure & Crafted is going international.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so after 3 years, Pure & Crafted in Berlin, and 1 year Pure & Crafted on the road, which we did last year. Now we thought is the time maybe to bring Pure & Crafted also to some other European city. And in fact, now we're going to Amsterdam, and Amsterdam, here we are, yeah.
Okay, Pure & Crafted 2019. Where is it and when is it, Michael?
The festival itself will take place on the 28th of September. And this will be at the Tats Art and Event Park in Zaandam, which is very near to Amsterdam and easy to reach. And so this is the place to be for the whole day on the 28th. We also will offer a kind of a pre-opening party, a club night in a club downtown Amsterdam. This club is not confirmed yet, but so we will meet there on Friday night already, also with live music and with a good portion of Pure & Crafted lifestyle. This will be on the 27th, and last but not least, on Sunday the 29th, there will be the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride. So this is a ride which takes place at the same time in many cities all over the world. On Sunday we will meet again at Tats Art and Event Park for breakfast, and then meet other riders, and from there we will ride to the starting point of the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride. So for a long weekend, so this in combination maybe with some sightseeing in Amsterdam, I think it's a cool thing to come over and join the Pure & Crafted Festival and have a city trip to Amsterdam.
Yeah, what a great choice of location. Amsterdam is a really great place to visit, and the festival site is really easy to get to, apparently.
It's quite easy to get there. So the festival location of Pure & Crafted 2019 in Amsterdam will be the Tats Art and Event Park. And the Tats actually is located in Zaandam. Doesn't matter if you arrive at the central station or at Schiphol Airport. It's just half an hour to get there. And also by bike or car, it's quite easy.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. I mean, you want to make some noise. You want to have loads of people turning up on their bikes and being able to park. So in terms of the event itself, how would you sum it up? Pure & Crafted. How would you sum it up in a nutshell?
So it's not only a music festival. We will also have a general store in which a lot of vendors will offer their goods, like denim jeans, for example, like handmade leather goods, stuff like that. And of course, we added motorcycle culture. That means we will have a wheels area. We call it wheels area, and in that wheels area, we will have a lot of custom garages and custom builders who will be presenting their coolest custom bikes. And then, of course, BMW Motorrad will have a brand appearance on location. We also will bring our best bikes there, and and then also a wall of death will be presented. So this will be Ken Fox and his troop from the UK. That together, of course, with a good choice of F&B, excellent drinks, and food trucks, that it's all part of the Pure & Crafted Festival.
Oh, sounds fantastic. So there's great music, loads of exhibitors specializing in quality handcrafted goods, a big choice of different street food. Sounds like it's going to be a really cool vibe at this festival. Is it suitable for all the family?
Absolutely. So we will open doors at noon already. Everyone is welcome, and especially also kids. And so I would say for the whole family, it's a perfect place to be and spend a beautiful day in autumn.
Now, is it a free event like BMW Motorrad Days, or do you need tickets for this one?
For this one, you will need tickets. I would say it's 25 euros, all taxes and services included. And so and then you get the entrance for the whole day.
Sounds fantastic. So how can people register or simply find out more about it?
The easiest thing is to follow us on Facebook or Instagram. Of course, we will have running a website, and this is pureandcrafted.com. And on the website, you also can order tickets. So we do that together with the Ticketmaster. So just visit the website, follow us, and then you stay informed.
Okay, super. Okay, so thanks for talking to us, Michael. I'm definitely going to be in Amsterdam over that long weekend, the final weekend of September, and hopefully we'll do live streams, of course, over the weekend. Cheers, mate.
Ellie, thank you very much, and I'm really looking forward to meeting you there in Amsterdam. See you.
I'm sure you're wondering what the cool music is in the background. Well, I can tell you it's London-based band Swedish Def Candy, who'll be live on stage at Pure and Crafted on the 28th of September. With Sons, Indian Askin, Bad Nerves and more. See you there. That's it for now, folks. It's been great having you along for the ride again. We've got more awesome content lined up for episode 3, so why not subscribe now and it'll find its way automatically to wherever your podcasts land. As always, we'd love to hear from you with your own ideas and suggestions on what you'd like to hear in a future podcast. So please do get in touch via social media, as we love a bit of interaction. Remember the hashtag BMW Motorab Podcast. Okay, this is Andy Jukes signing off. As always, don't forget to make your life a ride. Bye for now.